Welcome to the portfolio conference on tourism, where we'll be considering the BRRR report of the department and its entity. I would hand over to Mr. Boltina to take us through. Apologies if there are any.
good afternoon, Chair. Chair, the one I've received is from Honorable Krumbok, and also the other one from the Office of the Minister and the Office of the Deputy Minister. Those are the ones that I've received. Thank you.
Honourable members, I take it that we all have gone through the report, but we will request that the content advisor, Dr. Kuzwayo, together with Ms. Loni, take us through mostly our recommendations, because when I looked at the report, for this time we are having three recommendations to three different entities or ministries or departments. Like the first one is to the Minister of Finance, and then the second one would be to the AG. And for the first time, we are having a recommendation to the AG to look into the outcome of our project, whether there's value for money in the project. Because when we met with them, they told us that if we put it in as a recommendation, they might take it up and see whether the projects that are undertaken by the department do add value in terms of service delivery objectives. And the last objective, the last recommendations, they go to the Minister of Tourism. Well, I must say, this is our last BRRR recommendations as the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, as we are getting nearer and nearer to the end of our term. We are now on countdown, and what I have requested together with the content advisor is that the recommendations should reflect most of the recommendations that we deliberated on throughout our 4 years in Parliament, so that even the next Portfolio Committee on Tourism can use it as a basis to benchmark and to look at the work, the outstanding work and the work that still needed to be done. In these few words, let me then hand over to Dr. Kuzwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. As the Chairperson has indicated, I'll be taking the meeting through our draft budget review and recommendations report for 2018. But I must state it up front that I'm just representing the collective of all of us as support staff. The document that we have all worked on, as you will see, there are issues that have been raised throughout the financial year. Some of the things will be from the research brief that the members have been issued, also some stuff that we also have raised throughout the year. And I won't be going it through page by page, but I will just direct members to specific pages where I think I need to highlight specific issues. I'll start with page 9, Chairperson. 1.6 is just the outline of the report. This outline is according to the template that is issued by Parliament in terms of how the BRRR should be compiled. So the report contains constitutional, legislative, and policy mandate of the committee. And secondly, we are looking at the financial performance of the department, but we are also looking at non-financial aspects of performance. Thirdly, we are looking at service delivery issues, and then we'll zoom into findings, and lastly, recommendations. And that is spread in the preliminary pages of the report. I will then skip to page 17. Page 17, we are looking at the financial performance. But maybe before I zoom into that, just in terms of what the chairperson has just said, to say this is the last financial year of this committee, you'll see that under number 4 there on page 16, we are looking at overview of the vote allocation and spending from 2014-15 to 17-18. On top of page 17, we just included that table there for members to see how was budget appropriated and spent over the last 4 years. Now, on number 5, then we are zooming into this financial year in terms of financial performance of the department. The portfolio had 2.1 billion that was appropriated to vote 33, and the amount of expenditure was 2.13. The appropriation is 2.14, expenditure was 2.13, and that led to, I would say, negligible under expenditure of 6 million. On page 18, now we're looking at the issues in terms of expenditure that were incurred in the period under review. Page 18, there in those bullets, we are looking at the expenditure patterns. Those were the include things that were observed by the committee and some issues that were raised by the Office of the Auditor General. The first one is the issue I've just talked to expenditure. To say that that 2.13 that was spent is equal to 99.7% of the expenditure, which was a very good expenditure in the year under review. The only thing, maybe if you compare expenditure to achievement of targets, you'll notice that there was slight performance on expenditure versus achievement of targets, which was the issue of concern raised by the committee. Then the under expenditure of 6.1 million was incurred, but we say that is a negligible amount given the amount that was spent. And if you look at the variance of why then the under expenditure was incurred, there were projects that were not implemented, particularly at the Kruger National Park Energy Efficiency Project, because the milestones of disbursing funds had not been met by the implementers, therefore the department did not pay. On page 19, we are looking at environment that totaled an amount of around 12 million that was approved by National Treasury. That was mainly for compensation of employees. And these are issues that the committee also dealt with during quarterly oversight work. Then there were issues of wasteful and fruitless expenditure. This year we had just over 1 million of that, and the reasons are still the same why we incurred that. It was on late cancellations of flights, so it has to do with traveling arrangements. And the department indicated to the committee that they have looked at that and decided that no, those could not have been averted, so they have been condoned in a way. Then irregular expenditure by the department was a total of 271,252. That was mainly for goods and services that were purchased under the value of 500,000 without calling for three quotations as expected. And also that led to a finding by the Auditor General. Then also included the issue of claims against the department, because in the annual report there are many entities, organizations that have laid claim, some cases that have been running for a very long time, and that the department needs to attend to. Then the issues of multi-year projects, they just indicate that we have projects that we are implementing, but that are overlapping in other financial years, and those also need to be attended to as part of oversight moving forward. On page 20, 5.1, so those are quarterly spending trends. It means over the financial year, we have received these quarterly reports. So as part of also what we need to report on in terms of the B2L process, we have to reflect on how did we arrive at that 99.7 expenditure. So it is comprised of that expenditure as explained in Table 4 on page 20. Then on page 21, 5.2, we had transfers and subsidies that totaled an amount of 1,379.52.8% of the budget that was towards South African tourism. So that is a continuous trend. Over the 4 years, we have been thereabout in terms of transfers that NDT was transferring to SAT. Then other transfers with respect to like the studies that we are conducting, the department is conducting with higher education institutions and so on. 5.3, we are raising the issue of gifts and donations. There is an amount of 120 million. The members will recall when we undertook oversight visit to Free State, when we went to the Golden Gate National Park, we were taken through a project. It was at a planning stage at the time. They are developing an interpretation center there for a dinosaur park. Then 5.4, there were exemptions that were given also by the National Treasury to the department. 5.5, then that is an Auditor General report. I won't go through everything because we just had a meeting with Auditor General, still fresh in members' mind. It's just to say both the department and the entity had unqualified audits, but this time they regret because there are findings for both the department and the entity. Within the entity, it was in relation to the material misstatements that were corrected. Also, there were issues around irregular expenditure. There were also issues raised around their internal controls, but also, the AG brought back the issue of GTEC. Remember, as you recall, that we had an issue with the Working for Tourism project that used to be called Social Responsibility Implementation Project. So they hired the services of GTEC. 32 projects were reviewed, but work is still in progress, and the DG explained to members where the project, where the program is. And so that was included in the AG's report because the matter that still needs to be attended to. So with SAT, the AG conducted the audit for program 3, leisure tourism, and program 4, business events, and they did not find any issues there. But there were material findings in terms of flouting legislation. One, in terms of members of staff that did not declare their interest and they were doing business with the entity, and those have since been dismissed. We also had an issue of people who were cover coating for their work, and also those were disciplined, but also there was an irregular expenditure of 4 million. So those were the issues that were raised with the entity. But the issue of the 4 million was explained by the entity in terms of the NH1 contract, and I think their explanation, as much as they incurred irregular expenditure, but the explanation, I think, was satisfactory. Then, on page 24, now we are looking at the assessment of service delivery performance. So this is the actual work that was done against the annual performance plan that was tabled by the entity and the department. We're starting with the department on page 25. There's a table there that indicates that they were able to achieve 90.9% of their plan targets, which was 60 of the 66 targets they had planned for them. So it was a good performance, but the issue, as was raised by the committee, was to say, you have expenditure at 99.7, but have achievement of targets at 90.9. So that is an anomaly there. But it remains a good performance nonetheless. So I won't go through everything, because that table just explains, it is a summary of everything that is contained in those pages. On page 30 there, we are looking at South African tourism also in terms of how they performed. On page 34, that is the expenditure of South African tourism in terms of the amount of money that was appropriated to them. And members will recall that with SAT, it's not just only the money that is sent to them as a grant, but they also receive other funding from Indaba, from TOMSA, and so on. So on page 35, that is their performance against the targets for the year under review. They had 33, they achieved 21, which was 66% of performance. And for them, the picture is not good, because they did not perform on a number of key important indicators, such as the arrivals and also those that relate to revenue, which then translate to GDP and then creation of job opportunities. I will then go to page 39, honorable members, where we are now looking at the first quarter, because we have to look now at the first quarter of this year, of the 2018-19, to say, in relation to how they performed in the previous financial year, how are they improving on the issues that were raised. And the picture that we saw in 2017-18 is continuing, where you have delays mainly caused by poor planning of their projects. And that has been an ongoing finding of this committee observation throughout the fellows, so that particularly they will have projects that are implementing with the third parties, and they will put them in the annual performance plan without finalizing all the planning. Therefore, they can't implement, or they will delay in terms of finalizing, in terms of reference or in their procurement system. So those are the issues that led to the understanding even in the. So the picture that is emerging in the first quarter, if it continues like this, it means also in the 2018-19 financial year, they won't be able to implement all their planned targets. I will then go to page 46. Page 46 has to do with 6.8 on top of that page there. Relevant external research assessing performance of the department. We are looking at other organizations or reports that we feel as a committee impact on tourism. So there are many things that we could have included, but we decided let's include those issues that are current. The one that we included there in detail are the new visa-related reforms. As the chairperson has said, this is the document that will also assist the Sixth Parliament Portfolio Committee. We said let us include this because there are so many issues, and this is a matter that this committee has been raising since 2015 when the regulations started to have an impact. Now we see some movement in terms of the reform, but the committee has indicated when there was a meeting with the department, clarity is still needed because as much as, for example, if you look at the unabridged certificates, people may still be required to produce these documents and it's not clear under what circumstances. But it's not just that. There are many other positive reforms there. On page 47, if you look at visa waivers for certain countries, the simplification of visa requirements for some important markets such as China and India, also having five multiple entry visas in terms of those countries. On page 48, we are looking at long-term multiple entry visas for people who are doing business in South Africa and academics. Also with the BRICS, we are looking at a 10-year multi-entry visa, and the issue of e-visas that the committee has always been calling for. Now in 2019 in April, there will be a piloted project in New Zealand, and also the issue of piloting e-gates at OR Tambo, King Shaka International, and Cape Town International Office. So there are many issues here. Also the issue of border management authority. There are many issues about South Africa being a poorer country, and there are discussions in the, so they are also looking at having a board management that will pull together all the law enforcement agencies to ensure that our borders are not porous. So people are coming here, are people who are wanted in the country. 6.8.2, we looked at the recent tourism and migration report to say, where are we now? Because this report, I think like last year, we received about 10.3 million. So where are we now? If you look at this recent tourism and migration report that are produced by Statistics Africa, the picture is not good as well as we are below the previous financial year in terms of the arrivals of June and July this financial year. On page 50, we also looked at the tourism consumer price index that says the hotel prices have increased nationally. We are looking at areas around the Kruger National Park and so on. But also, if you look at around Cape Town, there were declining prices in relation to water crisis because the demand was decreasing. So the trade decided to lower the prices. So those are the issues in terms of the reports that are impacting on the performance of SAT and the department. On page 50, under number 7, now it's finance and service delivery performance information. So it's a summary of what we've been talking about here to say this is how they performed and where are the issues in terms of infrastructure projects, skills training projects, and also bringing also the issue of GTEC that still needs to be addressed in terms of the of performance assessment. On page 52, that is, I think, as the chairperson was saying, the gist now of the report, where we are looking at the key findings and observations and responses by the committee in those five observations that were made. So they are divided into three categories. You have the technical issues, you have the service delivery issues, and you have the governance and operational issues. Starting with technical issues, we are looking at the issue of underspending, irregular expenditure, and fruitless expenditure. So we just grouped all of them together there to say, in total, the portfolio, cumulatively, we had irregular expenditure of 5.5, of which 4 was from SAT, and that 1 million from the department in terms of cancellation. Allocation to the vote is a technical matter because in terms of the ENE, if you look at the MTF period, tourism is still underfunded, and the committee therefore needs to make recommendations in that regard in terms of what should be done to unlock the tourism potential of the country. On page 53, 8.1.3, we are looking at setting predetermined objectives. Members will recall before we used to have issues with the department and the NDH because they were not setting smart objectives. They have since corrected, and the Auditor General did not find anything in terms of the smartness of their predetermined objectives. However, the issue remains with them planning and including targets in the annual performance report that they are going to implement with third parties without proper implementation protocols in place or plans to say how are they going to do this, which then leaves delays. An example that we can make, members will recall they have been rolling out these information gateways at the points of entry. They have done it at OR Tambo, they have done it at King Shaka. But when it came to Western Cape, the model they were using could not, because Western Cape said we are using another model in terms of our information center, so they needed to engage more. So we are seeing before they included it in the APP, they should have ensured that all the three airports are agreeable. So we have this with many other projects where they cannot implement because they did not finalize all the planning beforehand. Then another technical issue, the usage of a consultant is a matter that government throughout is trying to limit and eliminate, but the committee acknowledges that the nature of their work, particularly SAT, they deal with a lot of international offices, so they will need to have consultants in those offices, people who are assisting them with interpretation of legislation and so on and so on. But they had made an undertaking to the committee, for example, that they will insource some services such as IT and so on, which they have not fully done through their Project Ignite, which still needs to be addressed. And also they have a strategy in place that was presented to say they develop a strategy to limit usage of consultants. Then governance issues, and operational issues on page 54, risk management, there were no issues there because the department and also the entity, they have a risk management committees, and they are implementing, and those committees sit on quarterly basis. And fraud and corruption, there were no issues with the department, but the issue was only raised with the entity with the issues of cover coating and also doing business with government. Code of conduct, there were no issues in terms of systems in place because they could detect this act. So the strategies are there. Maybe it's for them to strengthen e-monitoring because those people that were found to have contravened the law, they have been dismissed. Minimizing conflict of interest on page 55 now, they have disclosure processes they are following to ensure that all their employees disclose this interest, and that is why they could detect particularly the NDT. And I think it's comforting that this, as the Director General indicated, they closely monitor this conflict of interest. The issue of safety, health, and environment, this one is important. Members will recall recently we had fires and government buildings in Gauteng, and they relate to exactly the safety, health, and environment in which the employees are placed. And as a committee, at the beginning of this term, the committee went and inspected the offices of both NDT, and there were no major issues. And also in this annual report, they included that they are still doing the fire drills that we were informed they are doing, and also they do these inspections to ensure that the employees are not under any risk. And service delivery performance, now there are many that were identified under service delivery issues, starting from page 56, membership of international organizations, bilateral agreements. We have a lot of these, and some of them have proved to be very beneficial to the country. For example, we had Mandarin training, we have chess training, French and Seychelles, and some of those people trained there have already been employed, as we were informed. Others have opened their own businesses and so on. And so on. So these are yielding good results. But there were issues raised by the committee in terms of, for example, the Regional Tourism Organization of Southern Africa, or ETOSA, where there were no good governance systems and they had to wind it down. Safety and security for tourists, the committee observed, particularly at the beginning of 2017 and throughout that year, there was a growing trend of crimes committed against tourists. You remember the markings at Table Mountain, also around Eastern Cape beaches, we had issues of markings there. You had follow-up crimes from OR, the hijacking of a bus with 36 Dutch tourists and so on. So all those issues impact in terms of our brand image abroad. Barriers to destination accessibility, this, regardless of the new reforms, you still have issues and the pace, slow pace in terms of issuing visas and also exploring electronic visas. You still have issues with poor airlift in some of the major towns in the country, and we also have exorbitant fares, these airport taxis. So all these things contribute to barriers to destination accessibility. And under 8.3.4, delays in introducing the bill, this is a matter that the committee discussed at length with the department, but it became clear that it was not going to be introduced now. It will only be in the sixth parliament. But the observation is that the delays in this bill cause the country to lag behind in terms of the new technological developments in the field, like Airbnb, for example, other disruptors such as Uber and Taxify, because now you have these new entries who are taking. It's not a bad thing that they're in the market. The only thing that is needed is regulatory, so that as a country, we don't compromise quality assurance in terms of what we do in the destination. Quality assurance itself on page 58 was an issue where the grading council failed or struggled to make the grading system work in the country, and that came with negative consequences of falling quality assurance, where people continue displaying these grading plaques, yet they are not graded. There was an issue raised by a member who went to Eastern Cape for the Tourism Month celebrations that they were at a three-star hotel in their assessment, which had no star at all in terms of the facilities and the service. So these issues, but also as a country, we need to keep abreast of the technological advancement. Grading is not just now a physical quality assurance matter. It has gone virtual. You have people commenting on all the social media platforms. If they go to a place and it's not up to scratch in terms of what they put, people will start texting about this. It also contributes to the declining brand image. Transformation, Chairperson, 8.3.6 remains also an issue. The committee acknowledges that you have a transformation fund, but 120 million over 3 years, the committee says this is not enough because it's 40 million. But the issue now, Chairperson, becomes to say, if the committee says this is not enough, but the department say, struggled to disperse all the 40 million just for this year, as if I recollect, they only spent about 15 million of the 40 million because of the delays. So now we still need more, because if you look at the assessment of what we need in terms of transformation, we need more money. But department, on the other hand, they also need to increase pace in terms of assessing projects that can be funded. Also, the BEE study report indicated that tourism had not improved across all the assessment areas, which is an issue. On page 59, we are looking at issues around the support of emerging tourism enterprises. There is a lot of work that is being done by the department, and also you have new entrepreneurs who are very dynamic, particularly in township tourism. Soweto have popular issue places that are now internationally acclaimed. Also, Durban is rising along those areas. Also, here in Cape Town, we have Zulis and them. So there is this growing trend of town, but they are not properly supported. So I think support them. There was an issue raised by members even here when the entity was saying, if you look at seasonality, you find that Cape Town is fully booked at a particular place. But the question was, if you say fully booked, are we talking about enterprises in the CBD? Or are you also saying fully booked because even the BNBs and everything else in the township is... So there's still an anomaly there, because fully booked means in town, not the peripheral. So these are the issues in terms of supporting of emerging enterprises. Rural and township tourism is singled out there because you need many other things that need to be done there in terms of enablers of assisting these emerging enterprises. The sharing economy is still a problem, Chairperson, because we still are awaiting a presentation on the very same issue. Also, with the bill, the matter must be addressed in terms of a regulation. So if you look at the country at the moment, even for marketing purposes, we have provinces that are kind of against this, and the provinces that are for these market disruptors. So as a country, we are not speaking in one voice. So we need this matter to be addressed in the Act. Then privatization of tourism at a local level on page 61, that remains an issue, as some municipalities still regard tourism as an unfunded mandate. This is regarding everything else that has been done. We know the department has tried, they have that toolkit, planning toolkit they have developed for municipalities. They host these biannual local government tourism conferences, but still the issue remains. And what the members had said in this financial is that the matter has always been addressed to the Minister of Tourism, but now it must be escalated to the National Treasury, so that there must be a closure in terms of understanding whether there will be any movement in terms of funding allocated for local. Since it is a constitutional mandate, it is there. If there's a concurrent function, local tourism is one of the things that needs to be done, but municipalities neglect their role there. Poor planning is another issue that was observed in terms of forward planning. We have talked about the TOR, stakeholder consultation for people who are going to implement projects, with contract management, their procurement strategies, signing of relevant agreements beforehand, all these things, particularly for working for tourism projects, both infrastructure and skills development training programs, they are still lagging behind there. Domestic tourism on page 62 also remains a challenge. Members have raised this thing, particularly with VFR, to say we have had more of domestic tourism from VFR, but even VFR itself is decreasing, and the NDT says they don't understand this segment. They still need to conduct studies for them to understand if VFR. But the issue that the members have raised is to say they must look at conversion of two things. One, people who are domestic travelers, in terms of business, tourism, they must be converted into leisure, tourists, and those that are traveling for social reasons like funerals and so on. But also the issue that was raised by members is the issue of their short-lived campaigns. To say their short-lived campaigns have not been effective, because as much as they are there, you see them on TV, they will just show you the activities that you can do, but you are not told in which destinations and what can you do to then unlock or book that particular activity. Cost-benefit analysis, also the matter that was there to say we don't know the return on investment on our skills and infrastructure project. On page 63, staff competency, there was an issue this financial year where staff, after the restructuring, could not do some of the tasks they were allocated, and because they lacked capacity, and members will recall even the issue of the framework for social tourism, they said they started, but somewhere in the midst of implementation, the staff was not competent enough, they had then to outsource their service. So then the issue of proper planning according to personal development plans to ensure that specific skills are imparted to individuals. If, for example, a person that deals with developing strategies must be taken through a training for policy and strategy formulation so that you're able to perform at your level. Then implications of the technical recession. So as a sector, tourism is an export sector. So sometimes when this happens in the country and the rent is not favorable, but for tourism, that is the time where as an industry can then benefit from it. But the entity seems to not have strategies to then convert people, for example, that have been doing outbound tourism, visiting other countries, to say, those are people who have money and they are mature travelers. What do you do there to ensure that they travel within the country? Poor performance against the 5-in-5 strategy. They are struggling as well because they have these targets until 2021 that is the entity, of bringing 5 million more visitors, 4 million for international and 1 million for domestic, but already they are behind. Yet we don't have any turnaround strategy to say what are they going to do to ensure that they improve. The interministerial cooperation, that one includes a lot of things. In most cases, previously we used to raise these issues at committee to say we need intergovernmental relations. So we say interministerial cooperation because some of these things need to be done by those departments, not necessarily by tourism. So cooperation will be for Minister of Tourism to engage different ministries to play their role in terms of supporting the sector. So we are just giving an example there of cooperative governance and traditional affairs, arts and culture, transport, because our transport is very important in terms of maintaining the roads, in terms of issuing permits and so on and so on. Thomsa Levy, Chairperson, that one, we say it is appreciated that Thomsa Levy is contributed by the sector, but it's not at a level at which they could maximally contribute because it is voluntary, and some members of the trade are not contributing, and then maybe they should relook at their model of shifting from it being voluntary to compulsory through self-regulation. On page 65, there's an issue about public and private partnerships. In their report under this, they just indicated there were no partnerships registered with National Treasury. And as the committee was saying, that is somehow a disservice to the sector, because members will know there is a PPP toolkit for tourism established in 2005. In the fourth parliament, National Treasury was even invited to come and talk to this particular issue, and they committed that they can work with the department. But until now, particularly around the game reserves and these national parks where they can unlock opportunities for local communities through these PPPs. But until now, they haven't registered any PPP. So it's for them. They were saying specific here because they have established a new, I think that is the last sentence of that 9.3.19 there. To say they have established Program 3 that deals with destination development. So that one that deals with master planning, recall when UDDG, Ushetia, reports on those issues. So I think it is better placed that particular program, they also look at these PPPs so that they unlock, because the opportunities are there. A national treasury can fund these PPPs. It's just that it is a thick document that needs a lot of compliance. Maybe that's why they are not doing it. But since we have a branch now that looks at destination development, it can be done. And Chairperson, I will then skip to recommendations, because 8.4 is somehow covered under recommendations. So there are recommendations, as the Chairperson alluded earlier, to the Minister of Finance, Minister, Auditor General, and the Minister of Tourism. For the Minister of Finance, we are saying the Minister of Finance...
Maybe just ask for the point of process going forward. When we deal now with the recommendations, are we going to deal with them individually, or are we going to just go through all of them and then at the end we go back and unpack them? Is it perhaps not best to deal with them as he now is going to start explaining them each by each, and then we get an opportunity perhaps to say yes or no or amend?
No, Honourable Force, I think what we are going to do is, because I take it that we have all read the recommendations, you will be afforded an opportunity where if you want to add a recommendation, you will do that. But for now, we will go through all the recommendations and then we'll open the house for addition and for correction. If, let's say, you feel that there's a recommendation but the wording is not what you think is suitable for the recommendation.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I'll just quickly go through them. So 9.1.1 on page 67 has to deal with prioritization of tourism at local level. So I think the Minister of Finance should develop a tourism funding model for local government through determining a percentage of budget that could be ring-fenced for tourism in the division of revenue allocation. I think particularly for those municipalities, because people move around the country, find that most of them provinces, in their provincial growth and development strategies, they've identified tourism. You've got a municipality in their IDPs, they also have tourism, but they are not funded. So then what do you do? Because you might have good things. I was just thinking also to say, you have these master plans that are being developed by the department. Department don't have money to fund those master plans. They must be funded somehow at a local and provincial. So are we going to develop this grand plan and just leave them there if you say this money is not? So this will assist the committee to know, because this is a matter that's been on the table for a long time. It's also a matter that was taken through the high-level panel report to say, at least if the committee goes to National Treasury, then the responses from the Minister of Finance will give the committee a sense of whether this can be done or not. Then also the issue of the transformation fund is there is for it to be capitalized, for it to be commensurate to transformation imperatives of the sector. But as I indicated earlier, maybe the National Treasury might say that you did not even spend the 40 million for 17-18, what do you need more for? But if you get transformation, so I think maybe the matter also of the department, as I said earlier, improving on the implementation. Then point three, this one, honorable members, maybe we need, because when we're talking about Thompson Levy, and we are bringing this one here to say you have two things that can happen. Is either Thompson Levy becomes compulsory, or maybe we develop or introduce some form of a tourism tax, because that 1% that they are contributing, if it was going to, as much as the fear is that money will go to the national fiscus, but we don't know what that will do to the ENE in terms of us saying, because we are contributing so much from the sector, therefore we need more money in terms of what is appropriated to the tourism board. And what is being requested here from the minister is to conduct a feasibility study, is not to introduce, but only the feasibility of this thing, to say, members will recall some provinces, particular cases, they tried to do this, and the trade was not happy, so it had to be stopped. But as government, will remain in the dark in terms of what can be done to increase tourism budget. So those are the three to the Minister of Finance, Chairperson. To the Auditor General, members will recall there was an issue about performance audit that was raised, and AG said they don't normally do that. They do regulatory audit in terms of compliance with legislation. If we want performance audit, we'll have to follow another route, and a special request left. So now we have included as a recommendation to say the AG must take one or two and conduct performance audit so that we can see the value for money in those projects. Now, to the Minister of Tourism, they are divided into two. There are those that relate to the department, and on page 69 we have those that relate to SAT. From page 68, under governments and leadership issues, we say the Minister of Tourism in collaboration with the National Treasury must conduct a tourism referendum. So it's a similar recommendation, but it's for the two ministries to talk about this issue so that at least we get a good response. We're saying here a tourism tax referendum so that we get to know what the trade is saying about this, the private sector, and also what that feasibility study says. So it's not saying, again, members, I'm emphasizing this, we are not saying we are introducing it. The recommendation is not to introduce, but is to get information to say, because if you look at a number of countries, they have this tourism tax charged in various ways. So we can also look at what will be the modalities. We don't need it if it is going to be detrimental to the sector. But if there is a way of increasing it, because I'm saying that referendum might assist to say we don't want a tourism tax, but we'll make Thompson Levy. Because you'll recall you met Thompson Levy as members the very first meeting when we're compiling our 5-year strategic plan. These matters were discussed with them, but until now, you are at the tail end of your term, nothing has happened in terms of that. So there must be discussion in terms of whether they are they increasing their levy collectors, and what will be the modalities around that. Then 9.3.2 also has to do with prioritization at a local level. Is the same one that we said to the Minister of Finance must do, but also we think our minister needs to talk to the Treasury to deal with this issue. Then there's another one that deals with improving internal controls, particularly to keep up to date with the changes that the National Treasury will know that this year we attracted an audit finding because we did not comply with the templates that were issued by National Treasury. Also, the issue of a PPP toolkit, we are bringing as a recommendation to say together with the National Treasury, our minister must identify and conclude some private-public partnerships, particularly for those communities around the conservation areas. The fifth one has to do with clarity on the visa reforms that we're talking about earlier, to say we need that clarity. The reforms are welcome, but clarity is still needed. 9.3.6, this one has to do with optimizing the value for money for our participation in these international bodies. We pay subscriptions to these international bodies. And in other areas, for example, now we are the chairperson of the EORA. Our minister also has been invited previously by the United Nations Veterans Organization to sit in their committees and so on. But we are saying above that, let us see what else can we do. We have a lot of other agreements that we have signed that were said to be dormant and so on. So we need to see value for money, particularly where we are paying. 9.3.7 has to deal with capacity building for the staff, to say a department must establish good performance management systems and personal development plans and have tailor-made training programs. You understand the department said, okay, they have good training programs, but we're saying they must tailor-make some of these programs for specialized skills that they need so that you don't have an issue of having to outsource. Point 8, this one includes a number of issues. It has to do with that inter-ministerial cooperation we are talking about. To say we have a number of issues that our minister has to deal with the number. So we did not write them one by one because pay guidance from the chairperson, as she was saying, Ella, we need to bring all these issues. You recall before we had like issues on airlift, we had issues on niche tourism development, SMME development. So if we have recommendation for all these things, we might have end up having many pages. But we're saying our minister must look at all these things and talk to various ministers responsible for different portfolios and unlock these issues for the sector. Point 9 has to do with project management to avoid delays in implementation. So those now that are related to SAT, that's from 9.3.10. Also here we're bringing the issue of effective internal controls, particularly to detect and avoid. As much as the CEO told the committee that no, they are on top of these issues, they're able to detect. But because the AG also look at our recommendation in terms of what they we put, so that AG can also see that we are dealing with the matter as the committee. Then we have an issue against the targets in 5 in 5, to say they must develop some kind of a strategy to make up, because as we're saying, as of July this year, you can see that arrivals are somehow declining, meaning this financial year also we won't meet the targets for the 5 in 5 strategy, meaning by 2021 we won't have achieved this. So there must be a way of them to say how are they going to improve. Point 12, this one it has to do with attracting and keeping skills within the department. There's a matter that was raised by members when it comes to the CMO, in particular the Chief Marketing Officer, where in your tenure in the last 4 years, you have had 3 Chief Marketing Officers resigning. And I'm saying maybe it is because of remuneration, because these are highly specialized skills that are wanted by the private sector. To say, can't you match, because if you look at the remuneration packages as they are presented in the annual report, you'll have the chief marketing officer at 1.4, but you have, for example, the COOs and others at 1.7. Yet the chief marketing officer is the one responsible for the commandate of the entity, which is domestic and international. Can't you then up the salary package of the chief marketing officer? And for example, it being equivalent to that of a chief conversations bureau officer might attract and keep people within the entity. So, but then the matter was addressed to the board by the chairperson when they were to say they must look into it. On page 70, it has to do with a staff recruitment and retention policy, just in general, because you could see in the annual report that you have had some resignations also from the entity. And the chairperson of the board, when they met the committee, they said, no, they have been undertaking these interviews with the executive as much as they want to work with SAT. But those people are not happy with some of the things. So I think let us look at their recruitment and retention to say how do you keep staff within SAT, particularly in key positions. Now, the 14th one has to do with marketing campaigns to say they must not just tell us what experiences are there, but they must include specific destinations and how we can book for those destinations. 15 is a China strategy. The whole world is looking at China, outbound tourism, and we are not tapping into their strategy. There was some information given to the committee by the entity, but it is not comprehensive. You need a strategy. How are we going to deal with the Chinese market? Because they are traveling and they are high spenders, but we don't seem to be to have a strategy that deals with their peculiar needs as the market. Then 16 deals with Thomson Lady Collection, is a matter that I alluded to earlier under observation to say we are looking at them changing it from voluntary to compulsory to avert the committee maybe looking at introducing a tourism tax. Then 17 is a value for money for joint marketing agreements. The committee will have an opportunity next week to look at these joint marketing agreements. But we are saying what is the value for money, because a lot of money is spent, is paid to these companies to assist SAT to bring people to South Africa. But instead we can see our number, well, we're not rising. SAT might claim that, okay, we've been growing over the years. But if you look at our growth, in fact, it was a self-correction of the market because we're still growing at the numbers which are like 4 or 5 years back. And secondly, if you look at where we are now, we are not growing at a rate of the world. Even Africa is growing at a higher rate than South Africa. So you need, therefore, to look at how these joint marketing agreements are assisting us as the country. 18 is for the minister now to unlock a air lift, where we're saying there needs to, there is a working model, a very good working model that has been done here in Cape Town and to a certain extent in at King Shaka, where you have all the stakeholders. You have the provincial DMO, you have the provincial government, you have AXA, then you have our own entity working together to unlock. If you look at the number of new flights and the seats that have been added, it is because of that particular partnership. To a limited extent, it has been implemented in Durban, though the KZN DMO was the one pushing this. But we're saying our own entity, because they are assisting these two provinces, they can assist many other provinces as well, just to rally stakeholders around to unlock a lift for those provinces. 19. We are looking at also quality assurance. This matter has always been there. It's a matter that we are bringing again because it has not been resolved. The issue of making grading free but compulsory. rather than it being voluntary, then attached to a particular course. Because if you look at the reasons why people are not grading, they will also quote a cost, the sum of the reasons why. And if you look at the revenue that we get from e-grading, it's so minimal. Then we are also looking at SAT chairperson taking advantage of the recession to say, how can they then change their strategies to ensure that these people are no longer traveling abroad because the rand has been devalued? It is expensive for them to travel abroad. How then do they convert those people to become domestic tourists? So that is the report, Chairperson. We will then welcome any amendments and changes and additions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kuzai. Let me first appreciate the team that set and compiled this comprehensive report. And before I hand over to members, anyone from the team that would want to add anything? Researcher? Nothing. Okay, I call upon members to engage with the report. Honorable Force, I note you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Okay, let me start with page 67, paragraph 9.1.1. I recall this was a recommendation I made specifically that we include destination marketing, access, and product development. But I recall also asking that since we are now engaging the Minister of Finance to develop such a funding model to look at how we can ring fence funding specifically from the division of revenue allocation to prioritize tourism in order to achieve those outcomes. I think it's also important that we include the linkage between local economic development, because many of these municipalities have local economic development budgets. In fact, it's a local government mandate, but not much is done in that space to promote the development of tourism-related products, which could then be a specific outcome when we talk about product development. So it's the important link between LED budgets. I think it should be included. Then paragraph 9.1.3, I cannot support this paragraph at all. Even though it calls for a feasibility study, and also linked with the paragraph under 9.3.1, where it calls for such a conduct or referendum to be done, and then linked with paragraph 9.3.16 on page 70, where it's linked to the TOMSA one again, to say that it should be an alternative if we want to look at the TOMSA one. So for me, all of the references to even consider a study for a tourism tax, we cannot support that. Then on folio page 68, paragraph 9.3.1, where it specifically then talks to the tourism tax, we cannot support. 9.3.3 ensures that the department improves internal controls and keeps abreast to the, my apologies, I support 9.3.3. It's 9.3.4, where it specifically talks to the public-private partnerships using the PPP toolkit for tourism. I'm happy with that, but I think it's important that we include then also with the Department of Cooperative Governance, in other words, the old Department of Local Government, because it says work with the National Treasury, Conservation and Heritage Institutions. But I think we should include the Department of Local Government specifically to talk about the underutilized tourism sites within municipalities. We know that there are more than 700 of these tourism sites, caravan parks, resorts, and so on. So I think that would be a very important link to include the Department of Local Government, how we could include that triple P into that specific space. Then I just want to ask about the extent black economic empowerment, where it says in order to boost entrepreneurship, attract international investment, and extend black economic empowerment. Should we not also then include your previously disadvantaged communities in order for communities that are marginalized and not necessarily on the mainstream tourism routes, that we also include those communities in the expansion of opportunities, and that we not only, when we talk about in remote and poor communities, that would be then that we expand opportunities to all of those type of communities that are not part of the mainstream tourism. Then 9.3.5, the last part of the sentence where it reads completely repealing the requirement and for minors to carry the UBC, I'm happy with that, but I would ask that we then also include plus the expansion of electronic visas to key source markets, because that's missing from the Minister's announcement or the Minister of Home Affairs, where he simply says that there's a pilot project that's being introduced in New Zealand. But I think as a committee we expressed support all along that there should be a full-scale rollout of e-visas, and if we only talk about UBCs, I think we're missing the opportunity to say, and that this committee then supports the expansion of electronic visas to all our key source markets. 9.3.6 I'm happy with, all the way down to the last one, but I want to ask, since we're under this particular category of governance and leadership, should we not then include the affordability one? Because remember, the two big hurdles in domestic tourism growth is affordability for South African citizens and limited geographic spread. But I'm happy that throughout the document it covers geographic spread, but I'm not sure whether we cover the affordability part. And you'll recall that previous meeting, since we're now at the last opportunity of our term in office, can we not include as a separate bullet point that the department considers, since we want to consider this tourism tax, if there is something to consider, is dual pricing. I really believe that it should be a policy statement by this department that it's not just a nice to have when it's September and it's spring, that all of these national parks open their gates free of charge for South African citizens for 1 week only. I really believe that there should be a dual pricing for South African citizens to enjoy free access and or discounted access into all national parks, resorts and other tourism related facilities that fall under government. In other words, your museums, your resorts, etc. So I think that is really a study that the department should consider to have that dual pricing one, but I'm happy to be led by the committee how they feel about that. Then 9.3.12, Madam Chair, engages SA Tourism to explore possibilities of enhancing. Now, the definition of enhancing is increasing. So the question here is, should we not ask to determine whether all of these salaries, and I remember last week, all of the salaries were listed in your document, your briefing document. I fell off my chair when I saw what these people are earning. Are these salaries market-related value? Because if this committee asks in this report that we support the possibility of enhancing the salary of the chief marketing officer, should we not ask that all of the salaries in the board be looked at to ensure that it's market-related value, to ensure that we get the best possible value for our money in terms of that board? Because there might be other salary discrepancies that we are not aware of, but we are only asking for the one, because we are only aware of the one resignation that could be linked to insufficient payment. But then rather let's rephrase to say, let's ask whether these salaries are all market-related value and whether we are getting the best value for money from the board in terms of the salaries that is being paid. 9.3.14 on the following page, when we talk about marketing campaigns, I'm sure that that would mean TV, printed and social media. But then it comes to the last line of that paragraph, but also including specific destinations. I remember that's a question I asked the CEO, that I still made the reference about families sliding down sand dunes and so on. I like the fact that you're talking about specific destinations, but why not talk about places and prices? Because if I look at other tourism agencies in this country, and I often use the one of Cape Town, where in Cape Town they introduced a 50 things to do for under 50 rand campaign to get Cape Townians to enjoy the products on offer in Cape Town. Why can SAT, which is also a tourism destination marketing agency on that macro scale, when we talk about specific destinations, I like to talk about places, people and prices, why can they not also negotiate with the tourism sector, which they represent because they're marketing their places, also to bring in the prices angle to make sure that we deal with the affordability issue again. 9.3.16, the tax one, I'm not in favor, but coming to the TOMSA one, I think it's a very, very important part of this paragraph that should be looked at. So I really believe that we as a committee should do much, or the new committee should do much more in the TOMSA space. We need to know exactly how much is raised, how much is used for product development, how much is used for destination enhancement. I think that's where we would, that's where the new committee must focus on the TOMSA one, to see whether it should be compulsory or voluntary and how much value do you get there. And not to talk about the tourism tax, because it's a very, very, and I can have a long discussion because I've done a lot of research on tourism taxes, and it's sometimes it's not a good thing for your sector. So on the TOMSA one, I'm very happy on that one. 10.3.18, Madam Chair, when we talk about airlift, I like the fact that we're bringing airlift into it, but I want to put more specific detail to it. Can we not say that SIT must develop air access initiatives for major tourism hubs in the country? SIT came on board with Cape Air Access at the end because I specifically asked him, get involved, because it's a best practice. So why not ask them to develop similar air initiatives for other provinces? And not only say that they should engage, but actually put a plan to it, that they develop air access for every province. Because remember, every province has now got a major airport. The Tourism Amendment Bill, the next one, I just want to ask, what is this committee going to say on Airbnb? Remember, it's a major player at the moment, and when we talk about quality assurance, that's still a big issue because a lot of people are loading their premises onto Airbnb to circumvent municipal planning ordinances, but also not to be graded, because they don't see the value of grading. We need to make them aware that there is a value in grading, so I think if we can just bring in the Airbnb angle. The last one on that page talks about the conversion. But what we are saying, we need to convert outbound tourism into domestic tourism. Can we include also to convert business tourism, tourists, into leisure tourists? Remember we said that there needs to be much more money spent in destination by people that attend all of these conferences. So if you think that last year 1 million people in South Africa attended a conference, just imagine if we convert that into a leisure tourist, okay? Is that the last one?
No.
Oh, that's the last one. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much,
Madam Chair. I've got only one on page 66, where it talks about ring fencing the tourism fund, which goes on to say, particularly in provinces and municipalities that have identified tourism as priority. I think we shouldn't put that one in, because it could be another way of some, I don't think there is a province or municipality where there will exactly be nothing of tourism. Everywhere there is tourism, that could happen there. Even at a small scale, it can be there. So if we say if they have, it means that some of them might deliberately not have it on their IDPs, so that they are not going to be reinforced in the fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, let me thank the people who, the authors of this report. They've done a good job. I want to say, most of my points have been taken, but I want to augment on the one on municipalities as well, and say that all the municipalities should be active, and the money or the vote or the money that they're given, the budget that they're given, should actually be ring-fenced from top to bottom. Now, I will come to the intergovernmental cooperation, page 63. top of what Honorable Forces said, I would like this department to liaise with the Department of Labor in terms of salaries. We have got a problem in the rural areas whereby now the workers in the BNB, having been informed of the 3,500 basic government basic salary stipulation, are burdened by their workers who all want 3,500 when even the businesses are not making that money. And they are taken to court for that, and the people in the labor department are really feasting on that, because now they are persecuting the small BNBs to pay 3,500, which they cannot afford. I think this should be graded like in the domestic worker policy, whereby people in Joburg, it is known that they cannot earn the same salary. I mean, people in the rural areas cannot earn the same salary as the people in Joburg. Southern Sun cannot compete with the rural BNB. And because there has not been that specification made, then the people are victimized. And now some of the BNBs are closing down because they are having workers that are incited by the labor department people. I don't know how it is going to be addressed, but that is the concern. The rest is the transformation fund. The department has got, I don't know why it was relegated to these other places, this fund, transformation fund, because the pace is very, very slow. Pace is very slow, and the people cannot access because the requirements are very high for the rural people. I don't know how it can be moderated, but I think something has got to be said about that. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, have we exhausted our contributions? If we have, allow me to bring it to attention that all the recommendations that are made in this BHR report are recommendations that are taken from portfolio committee deliberations between the department and the entity, and also the AG. So let me advise that it is noted that an honorable member would not support a recommendation, but that does not mean that the recommendation would not get into the report, because the recommendation is a recommendation that is emanating from deliberations. Especially the recommendations that talk to the issue of the tourism tax. We are bringing this one because we are also trying to look at means and ways that can enhance and increase the tourism budget, because we know that the money that is appropriated for tourism is actually too little to bring about the transformation and the benefits to tourism. But also the good part of it is that we are not imposing, but we are saying everything that needs to be done must go through an impact assessment, meaning that we are not going to shock the markets, we're not going to shock the economy. It will be through a study, a feasibility study, and that feasibility study will have a recommendation that will say how will the market, because when we're doing it, when a feasibility study is conducted, it goes to test the economy, test the market, test the industry to say how will the industry react to it. But also, we are saying that we've seen that the Thompson levies, the voluntary part of it does not make it, is not beneficial to the industry, because there are some members who
who opt not to pay because it is voluntary. But this also will be packaged also in the tourism amendment bill to say perhaps it's issues that we that should be included so that we when we're regulating the space we also regulate. We don't only want to regulate grading and leave something that is very important as collection of the levies, because a levy in itself is a tax. You know, it's just that it's phased in a word that is sugar-coated. But then levies versus tax. Well, if we go the tax route part of it, it might be that it will not be collected by us. It should be collected through a different system. But we want to look at the feasibility of all that so that we are able, or the next committee is able to take a decision into that space. We welcome all the deliberations. We will also most certainly include some of the amendments that are made to the recommendations, looking into the space of the Airbnbs, how will the sector be regulated in that space? Because we know it's not only the Airbnbs, it's also the Ubers. Although Ubers is not directly reporting to us, because it has to do with transport, but it's something that is also in the tourism value chain. With these few words, honourable members, let me allow the secretariat to give us a guideline on how they will include some of these amended recommendations, and then in principle we will have to adopt this report today with the amendments, because it needs to be tabled by the 19th. I will hand over to the secretariat to give us a guideline on how it will come back to us, so that we see that these are some of the additions into this draft.
As we have noted all that came out from the members from this meeting. For instance, the issue of I think if we are listening to the deliberations, members are really, I don't think they are far from each other. For instance, the issue of Tom's levy is also the air access initiatives is also the quality assurance, the conversion of business tourism to leisure tourism. Those issues are issues that are already in this report. We can deal with the rephrasing of it.
Thank you, honourable members. On those grounds, let me call for the adoption of the budgetary review and recommendations report. I note, as amended, I note honourable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I recommend the adoption of the Budgetary Review and Recommendation Report 2017-2018 of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. For the vote. Vote 33. Thank you. With amendments.
And then, can I call for a seconder? Honourable Four, I note
you. Unfortunately, I cannot then support, because of that particular paragraph, even calling for a feasibility study, because we are of the view that the Tomsa levy is the one that we should rather focus on. And I hear your comments about it only being a study or at least a feasibility into such a type of tax, etc. But So I accept all of the other recommendations. So let's just put it on the record. I accept all of the other recommendations with the amendments as made, etc. But the references to an additional tourism tax to even be considered or research to be conducted, that is the only section that I cannot support. But for the rest, I am in agreement. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Force. That will be noted. Can I call for a seconder to the adoption of the report with the amendment? Honourable Bam.
Thank you, Chair. I wish to support and second the proposal made by Honourable Adams in support of the budgetary review and recommendation report 2017-2018.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The report has been adopted with the amendment. It will be signed off and tabled in Parliament by the 19th, which is the deadline. Let me hand over to the Secretariat to give us any announcements and remind us of the meeting for next week, according to the program.
The meeting next week, we will be meeting with the SAP on the joint marketing agreement. Because we have also noted, Chair, that the House will be sitting at 2. So the proposal is that whatever we will be doing, at least we manage time such that by 20 to 2, at least the meeting comes to the end, so that the members can be in the House for the medium term budget policy statement. I think that is all, Chair, on our side. And then what we will do after we have included all of these amendments, then we will resend the document back to all members as a final document, so that they can see what will be in the ATC will be also what they have agreed on it in this meeting. And then the last thing, Chair, I just forgot to raise to you privately. We've got an invitation, Chair, from the Minister on the Lilizela Award ceremony. When is it, ma'am? November? Oh, 17 November. We will table that next week in the committee meeting, Chairperson, so that the committee can make a decision whether they want to attend that or not. If they do, then we can do the necessary processing of the application. Thanks, Chair. It's in Sentin on the 17th of November. I think 17 is on a Saturday. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. Let me also remind us, honourable members, that we have sets of minutes that we have not adopted for I think quite some three sets of minutes. And then I'm proposing that perhaps moving into the future, we will have to meet on a Tuesday lunchtime just to do our housekeeping, adopt the minutes. So it means we'll meet 2 days in a row. The Tuesday will be to look into the adoption of our minutes, and then the Wednesday will be the continued schedule of our meeting. With those few words, honourable members, allow me to appreciate the fact that we are able to deliberate, we are able to outline how we see things happening, and we also, I must say, honourable force, we also appreciate dissenting views, because dissenting views does not necessarily mean conflict. It means only that you see things differently from how we see things, and that's appreciated in such a meeting in this portfolio committee. And then with these few words, let me appreciate us all for coming, and we shall see each other next week, Wednesday, and the meeting is adjourned.
Are you ready?